modern feminist take on the classic Choose Your Own Journey book, inspiring readers to embrace the fact that there is no singular right path, just your own path. Our guest today is Rebecca Bastian, and she's going to show us how you can make decisions on your life plan, and this is primarily for women, we're going to get to telling you about her book, Blaze Your Own Trail, an interactive guide to navigating life with confidence, solidarity, and compassion. And Rebecca is a corporate person. She's a writer, a speaker, a mentor, a mother, a vice president at Zillow Group, and the CEO and co-founder of OwnTrail.com. As a female executive and thought leader in the business tech community, she speaks and writes on the complex life paths of women and creating social impact through technology. So we're going to find out what it is she's talking about. It's great to have you on the show, Rebecca.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Your book, Blaze Your Own Trail, is an interactive type book. Tell us about the format.
Yeah, it's kind of a choose your own journey format, which means that the reader is the person who is the main character. It's written in the second person, so you are going through the story, and at the end of each chapter, you make a decision, and that tells you what chapter to go to next. So the table of contents is essentially a big decision tree, and there's all these different paths and 19 different endings that you can end up in.
Okay. So how did you figure out, or how did you come upon this format? Is it something you learned in school, on the job, or other places?
No, I mean, I would say on the job, I've done a lot of product management in my career, which does mean making a lot of decision trees around how products will work and, working on Zillow, the different paths that our users can take in interacting with our website and mobile apps. But in terms of the book format, it really just came to me. The book is exploring the different decisions and pathways that women take through their personal and professional lives. And I felt like having this interactive format was really kind of an experiential way of understanding the idea that there is no one right path and that we can't always predict the outcomes of our decisions anyways. And so feeling the confidence to be okay no matter what happens or what twists and turns our life might take.
Well, I know in my own career in medicine, we had schematics with you choose this, you go down that path, you choose that, you go down another path until you get to the end and hopefully find out what's wrong with your patient. So,
yeah, exactly.
This is sort of the same thing.
Yep.
So what type of readers do you want? Do you want millennial and Generation Z women or more than that?
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty broad in terms of who it can appeal to. Certainly the character in the book starting out is a young woman who's just graduating from college and looking at the life ahead of her. But the different experiences in the book really span probably the years all through her 20s and 30s up to the early 40s. And so I think it's interesting from the perspective of what lies ahead for young women. I had my book club read it as beta readers, and this is all women in our 40s, and we had one of the most lively conversations we've ever had at book club, just thinking back on all the decisions we've made and what could have happened had we chosen a different path, and I think that perspective is really interesting as well. And interestingly, a lot of the reviewers that have been writing about my book in publications have been men, and they've actually really enjoyed it too, both because I think a lot of the experiences are universal, And because it offers more of a compassionate glimpse into what women are actually experiencing in their lives, which I think is really beneficial to anybody.
Now, I'm sure that my listeners are a little confused about the different generations. define for me a Generation Z woman.
I don't know. I'm struggling to remember exactly where that definition falls in terms of what age falls into each one. But I think that Generation Z is oftentimes defined as, much, kind of younger and probably in their 20s right now. And, there's both the burden of dealing with what we have, the state of the world, which of course is particularly poignant today, but, dealing with what's been handed to them and the different kind of complexities and the difficult choices, a lot of the choices that Gen Z faces are not so clear cut, right? You might be coming out of school with a massive amount of debt that's unprecedented, or, being told that you're both, having too much handed to you, but feeling like you can't accomplish anything based on the different parameters. And I think that some of those choices can feel really limiting and confusing. Living in a world filled with social media and traditional media that tells us that, there's all these kind of shiny picture-perfect endings that we should be aspiring to, and it can make us feel like we're getting it wrong if we don't just easily reach this.
What is a millennial?
Millennial, I think, is I'm pretty sure. Okay, you're asking me some definitions that I'm not entirely sure about, but I believe that millennial falls into, there is some overlap with Gen Z and millennial. And it might be right after another, but millennial is slightly older. I think they do deal with a lot of those same problems, might be a little bit further on in, starting their careers right now, or, I think a lot of millennials are going to be starting families and figuring out kind of some of the balances and complexities that comes with that.
So Generation Z women are in their 20s and millennials are in their 30s. Is that the way you'd characterize them?
I think Gen Z is actually teenagers and early 20s right now, and I believe millennials is more kind of late 20s and 30s.
Okay, I
see. Yeah, and then I am 41, and I would fall into Gen X, which is more kind of late 30s through 40s. And so, I think the interesting thing is there's all these different definitions of generations, and there's certainly some different climates that, like, for example, Gen Z doesn't know life before the internet, and I certainly do. So there's kind of different factors there. But one of the things that's interesting, I think, that makes the topics in this book more evergreen is the fact that there's so many commonalities around what women experience in our lives. And there's some nuances about what gets talked about and what doesn't. But, women have been being harassed in the workplace for generations, for example. Women have struggled with the balance between motherhood and careers for, at least a few generations here. And dealing with figuring out, taking care of kids and aging parents at the same time, or dealing with just even the decisions around our romantic lives and what that means. And, I mean, there's just so many timeless things that we've had to experience as women that I think really bring us together across generations.
Okay, so in your book, you refer to all of the endings, and I think that there are 19 possible outcomes if you follow your chart plan and everything, as happily ever after. So why did you say that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's, in one sense, calling all the endings happily ever after is a little bit tongue-in-cheek. It's, none of them are truly, like, fairy tale endings at all. And, in every ending that you, the character, has had to make it through some really difficult obstacles and unexpected turns. But it's also trying to recognize that, regardless of what we're presented with and what we have to go through, we can find our new happy. We can find that new normal, and we can be okay. and it might not be what we expected or planned for, but we can find peace in that. And I think that that's a really reassuring idea that I wanted readers to embrace.
Okay, so when would be the earliest that a woman would find themselves in a position of starting your life plan? As a teenager or later or what?
I mean, I think that we do a disservice to even younger children by asking them what they want to be when they grow up. And, you know, are you gonna have kids? Are you going to get married? What are you going to be? And so I think those ideas of needing to have a plan are actually implanted really early in our lives, which isn't necessarily the best thing. You know, I think certainly, yes, teenage years, you start thinking about some of those things more, or some people don't. I think my teenage years were a little bit more foggy than that. And then you kind of, you know, there's definitely the transition, which is, I think, why I picked the starting point for the book, of when you are either graduating from, you know, whatever the last education you do, when you're ready to really go into the workforce, that's a pivotal moment where it's like, oh boy, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing now. And it probably is supposed to have something to do with education that I've done, or, you know, something that I've been planning for. And I think that can be a pretty big pivot point where you feel like you need to have it figured out. But spoiler alert, most people don't have it figured out. And what we think we have figured out ends up changing over time. And so I think there's kind of a sense of calm that can come from knowing that you don't need to know it all then.
So if I were to ask you, when should a girl or a woman pick up your book and read it on the average, what would you say? When she's going to high school, when she's getting ready to go to college, after college? Where is your demographics there of the person that's most likely to need your book and get something out of it that will really help them?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just kind of arbitrarily picking a number, maybe ages 18 to 50.
18 to 50.
There's different things you're going to get out of it at different phases of your life. I think that, you know, maybe 18 is the time when you start to, you know, by some definition, start to become an adult and start thinking about what lies ahead. And we never stop grappling with decisions and unexpected difficulties and the need for solidarity between ourselves and other women. I think that's something that continues on. So, you know, there's a pretty broad range in there.
Okay, so could you take us through a scenario of one of the trails a little bit to let the audience kind of get an idea of what they are going to be doing when they read your book?
Yeah, definitely. So there's, you know, some example scenarios are, you know, in the beginning, the character is starting off trying to decide if she should jump straight into the job force or do some traveling first after she finishes college. You know, she ends up in an entry-level job with a boyfriend that she's very close to, who ends up needing to move across the country, and she's deciding if she should move with him or stay where she is. She ends up with a boss who's sexually harassing her, and she's trying to decide if she should report that or just leave. She's struggling with infertility and trying to decide if she should go into, you know, expensive treatments around that or just let nature take its course. So there's you know, a really broad range of topics that we go through here, and each one results in a decision. And each, you know, all the decisions and the different situations in the book, I have a bunch of data woven into it as well. And so the data is really trying to show that, you know, these are really common experiences and decisions that women are going through, and creating a sense of solidarity around those shared experiences.
Okay, so I understand. What would you say to a person who has never thought about using this format to plan their life? Some people just go with the flow, so to speak, and whatever happens, they make a decision they don't plan out. Well, if I do this, I may wind up here, and if I don't do that, I might wind up in another place. And so what about the people that, you know, are not really motivated to plan everything out.
Yeah, I think I share more philosophically with those people, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get across in the book. So I'm not suggesting that everybody make a decision tree to assess all of the possible outcomes in their life, but this format is more trying to embrace the idea that, like, you can't plan things out too far. Some of the best things that happen to you will be ones you weren't trying for and didn't expect, and some of the hardest things that happen might be as a result of something that you really thought you were going after. And so I would really encourage readers to kind of relax into their lives a little bit. I think, you know, paying attention to what's making us happy and fulfilled, you know, how we can best be using our skills where we're needed in life and what the opportunities are is important. But, like, I would encourage people not to feel like they need to have a really well-defined plan of where they're going, because I think that can both be stressful and misleading.
I know from my own life that what happens in your life changes with perspective. In other words, mm-hmm. when you're going through a bad experience, you might say to yourself, oh, this is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. But 20 years later, as a result of that bad experience and how you came through it, you might say, well, you know what? That was the absolute best thing that could have happened to me at the time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm so glad you pointed that out. So I really agree with that. I think it's interesting. So part of, you know, the other thing that I've been working on is I've started a company called Own Trail, where women can share what their life paths have been as a way of, you know, as kind of a micro act of mentorship to inspire and help guide other women. And one thing that we were really thinking about when we were building that out is, you know, we started off thinking that we should have people kind of say, was this experience positive or negative or neutral in your life? And we realized that that's so subjective, and it really will change over time, right? So exactly what you said, something that feels really bad in the moment can be the best thing that ever happened, and vice versa. And I think that there's also a sense of calm that comes from that, because when you're going through something that feels so awful, you're like, well, this, you know, I often think to myself, this is definitely going to be a really good story later on, and it might even turn out to be the best thing, because I don't know what's going to come from here.
Yeah. So, Rebecca, tell us how to get your book, and give us some stuff on your contact information, like website and social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, if your listeners go to owntrail.com, so that's owntrail.com, there's a link that says read the book, and that page has more information about the book and links to buy it and a book club discussion guide for anyone that wants to use that. And on that website is also where you can go to share your trails and see the life paths of other women. And social media links for Own Trail are on there. And then, you know, as you mentioned, my name is Rebecca Bastian, and I can be found on all the different social platforms as well for anyone that wants to connect.
So that that website is owntrail.com?
Exactly.
Okay. That's pretty easy to remember. Okay, so I was wondering if there's something that I missed that's really important to you that you would like to tell the listener today.
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah, I mean, I think I just really believe in the power of shared storytelling, and that's what is, you know, kind of the driver behind the book, Blaze Your Own Trail, is really understanding the myriad stories that we might go through. And that's what's behind owntrail.com, is really us sharing our experiences with others in order to create this kind of collective engine for the guidance and inspiration that we might be looking for as women. And so I would just really encourage all of your listeners to be really authentic and vulnerable in the stories you share, because I think that can go such a long way in terms of both connecting all of us and empowering each other. So.
Right.
That's the big takeaway, yeah.
Okay. Always nice to have you on the program today, and I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that will be inspired by your book and know what some of the choices are depending on which path they choose. And so thanks for being on the program today, and we'll talk to you when you write your next book.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to talk with you.